Jesus is coming again. I'm going to say that several times today during the message. Jesus is coming again. When I say that, I would like you to respond, amen, come Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. We're in Revelation. We're going to be looking at the very last verses in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible today. Kind of exciting, the last six verses of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, you can turn there. We'll be starting in verse 16. Jesus is coming again. You guys need to be awake out there and be ready. You don't know when I'm going to say that, but you need to be ready because Jesus is coming again. There you go. All right, we started our study of the book of Revelation back in chapter 1. You know, before I go any further, I am going to take a cold drink of ice water from this pitcher of ice water right here. There's condensation building up. That means it's really cold. And it's nice and refreshing. It's good. That's really good. I had a little bit of a thirst, and now it's been quenched. Anybody else want some ice water? Anyone thirsty out there? Well, too bad. I only brought one cup. But it's good, I'm telling you. I was thirsty, and now I'm not. Now I'm thirsty again. All right. Good, that's right there. Plenty for me, I think, for the sermon. Revelation, we start in chapter 1. We read, blessed are those that hear the words of this prophecy. We have heard at least some of the book of Revelation here. There's a blessing for those who read it and hear it. And hopefully we heed it too. There's a blessing in that as well. Why are we blessed? Because the time is near, is what we read back in chapter 1. In chapter 1, John saw Jesus Christ, the risen, powerful Jesus Christ in all of his glory, an amazing picture of who he was. So amazing, John fell to the ground as a dead man. Jesus said, I am the first and the last, and I hold the blank of death and Hades. This is kind of like a review here. Anybody remember what that word was? Jesus said, I hold the, what was it? Yell it out, someone. Okay. I was hoping one person would yell it out. Emily, you want to come on up here? I have some prizes to give away. I don't know if it was just the loudest voice, but I think the first voice I heard was Dave Kellett, so he gets one of those. They might look like a Mother's Day gift because they were leftovers, but share it with whoever you want. Anyway, okay. I hold the keys of death and Hades. We realize that the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the risen, powerful Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, we read the letters to the churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, and Thyatira. Chapter 3, letters to Sardis, Philadelphia. And raise your hand if you know the last one, right there. Laodicea, he gets a bag for his wife. All right. Laodicea, and I do hope that you guys took those letters to heart. Really, in our elders picking Revelation, it's interesting how this came about. We didn't really pick the book of Revelation. We picked the letters to the churches. That's really what we were thinking in the first place, because we were thinking just during all the things going on around us, it would be good to know, what exactly did Jesus say to the churches, how to live in weird times? So that's what we went to. But then as we looked at chapter 2 and 3, of course we had to do chapter 1. And then if we're doing chapter 1, we better do chapter 4 too. And you can't stop at 4. You got to go to 5. And it would be crazy to stop at 5, so we have to do the last chapter. And you can't stop at the last chapter, so we went. So eventually we're doing most of the book of Revelation. But anyway, the emphasis really we were thinking was the letters to the churches. I hope you really took those letters seriously. If there's any part of Revelation that is specifically written to the church right now, to us, It's those letters to those churches. And hopefully you figured out where do you fit in all of that, and what would God write to you. And I hope you're acting on that too, because Jesus said you better act on it or I'm going to come do something about it. He was very serious about it. So I hope you've taken that seriously too. Doesn't hurt to go back and read those again also. Chapter 4, we read about a throne in heaven and one that was sitting on it. Around him were 24 elders. There were rainbows. There was lightning. There was thunder. There was creatures that never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Gary raised his hand right there. All right, the Lord God Almighty, thank you. So we had a wonderful scene in heaven, chapter 4. Chapter 5, we read, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the blank and its seven seals." The scroll. Thank you, the scroll. And that was important. When they couldn't open it at the beginning, John sobbed crazily. Remember that? And we realized that scroll was really important. But Jesus, and how did he see Jesus? He saw him as a lamb. Although he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he was the lamb that also was slain. 6 to 18 are the ones that we did not cover during this preaching session. If we did, we would have seen seven seals. As Jesus opened each seal, things happened on the earth. If you want to go look at the details there, you can. There's other things mixed in with that as well. The seventh seal, it seemed like things were about over, but then there were seven trumpets. As each trumpet blasted, things happened on the earth. But then the seventh trumpet, eventually it seems like it's over then, but there's seven bowls. And God just keeps dragging that tribulation time out over, just allowing as much time as possible for people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to be saved. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, kind of an outline of that section, kind of an outline of the tribulation period on earth. And that brought us to chapter 19, where we read about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about a supper, a wedding supper of the Lamb, about a rider on a white horse, and we read about Armageddon as well. It is interesting, I'll share this quick little story, talking about these things with our kids at the dinner table. I found out that we were talking about the wedding supper of the Lamb and how great that's going to be. Cynthia was not excited about it, my daughter, 6 years old, and we realized she just wasn't looking forward to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And I thought, man, there's some spiritual thing wrong here. I wonder if we need to talk again about Jesus. And I was thinking about all my doctrine and theology and stuff, and it turned out she just doesn't like eating lamb. So we got to clarify what that actually meant, and that's been good, going through Revelations and clarifying what exactly is being talked about and what isn't here. That really opened my mind, like, we need to make sure we're explaining what we mean by all of these things. I think she's looking forward to it a little more now. Chapter 20, Satan was bound, and there was a long reign of Christ on the earth, or there will be, and there was a great white throne where there was judgment at that great white throne. How long was the reign of Christ? How many years? 1,000 years. 1,000 years, right back there, the man sitting there with his hand up. 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan bound for 1,000 years. Chapter 21, we read, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men," and we read about the New Jerusalem. Kind of an exciting chapter there, and that brought us to 22. We started last week. We read that these things in Revelation will soon take place. Soon, everybody. Jesus said also in chapter 22, "I am coming quickly." They will soon take place. I am coming quickly. And then we read, "The time is near." And then Jesus said again, "I am coming quickly." And today Jesus is going to say, "I am coming soon." I wonder what that word's going to be. Anyone know what that word is? Quickly. Okay. The loudest voice I heard was there. Soon or quickly works depending on what translation you're reading. So Jesus says in this chapter we're looking at, "I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly, and I am coming quickly." I wonder what he's trying to say. It's so confusing, isn't it? Man, it's so hard to understand Revelation here. I wonder. But Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. We need to be ready for that, don't we? It might catch you off guard when Jesus comes again. We need to be ready for that. All right, verse 16, I just want to say amen to what Tim prayed earlier, and amen, come Lord Jesus, and here we go, the last few verses of the Bible. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Sorry, I just need some more cold, refreshing water because I am thirsty. Oh, that's really good. Anybody else thirsty? Okay, I, Jesus, have sent my angel. So again, we're reminded here, as we have been several times in the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is a revealing of the truth by Jesus, a revelation of Jesus, nothing short of that. This is not someone's a commentary on something. This is not the angel's opinion on things, too. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Revelation is, a very clear revealing of what will happen in the future. And who is it written to? To the churches. Jesus says, I have sent my angel to testify to you of these things for the churches. This is for the churches. To testify to John, John would write it down, and his job was to then share it with the churches. Which, by the way, do you think he did a good job of sharing it with the churches? Do you think he was able? Remember, he was on an island, a prison island, and he was pretty old. Did he get the word out? Do you think it made it off the island? Well, the answer is sitting right here in Yakima, Washington, on the other side of the world, in a different language. We're talking about it. Yes, the word got out, and he did. And the churches, and here we are, the church, and we are reading, and that's a good thing. So it's a revelation of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. In the book of Revelation, there are many names for Jesus. I know a couple years ago for day camp, we went through many of the names of Jesus. And if you go through the Bible, there's a lot of them. When you get to, there's like, you know, a lot in this book, a lot in that book. The book of John has a lot. And then you get to Revelation, boom. It's like the list this long. The names of Jesus are all over here. And the claim of Jesus to be God himself, it's all over the book of Revelation. If you want a book that clearly shows he claims to be God himself, nothing short of that, it's all over Revelation. And many names there. Here he says, I am the root and the descendant of David. How can he say that? How could a person be that? The root of David, the root is something that comes before the plant, before the tree. You need a root. So he was before David, King David of Israel, a big part in God's plan there. He was before him, but he's also a descendant of David, which means that he came after him. How can you be before and after? That's a big question. But also, he's a descendant, a human being who is physically related to David. That's another thing in itself. How can you be all of those things together? And Jesus is the only one, the Messiah, the one who was prophesied, who would come to be the root and the descendant of David. So he's claiming, yes, I am the one. I am the one written about in the prophets. And if you remember last week, the prophets were mentioned many times in this book, chapter 22. The angel was saying, remember, these words are faithful and true, written by God, who has the spirit of the prophets. And so he was equating the book of Revelation with the whole rest of the Bible and the prophets. So Jesus is saying, I'm the one, I'm the fulfillment of all of those things. And the descendant of David, I didn't have time to look it up, but I was trying to think, why does he point that out here at the very end of the Bible? Well, there's many prophecies that are all about the descendant of David and a human being specifically. In fact, well, we could go back and look at those, but many of them are, and he's the fulfillment. He also says he is the bright morning star. In the morning, the stars start to fade, the sun starts to come out, and there's one star brighter than all of the rest. It holds on as long as possible, and it ushers in a whole new day. He says, I am the one that's going to usher in a whole new time period in this universe I am the one. I am the bright morning star, the brightest of any other star. There is nothing else that you could look at that's brighter than me, and I will usher in a whole new day for you. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
All right. Verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm thirsty again here. I'm going to drink from this cold, refreshing water right here. Anybody thirsty out there? I did this at boys' camps once, and they almost came up and tackled me to take this water out of my hands because we had just played for like an hour. Some of you, I know you're thirsty. When you see a pitcher of water like that, it's hard to not be thirsty. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without cost. An amazing little thing here right at the end of the Bible. We have the word come. It actually means a couple different things here, depending on where it's at. The Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit of God, who is inside the church. If you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a true believer, Jesus, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you. That means his Spirit is in the church. And the Holy Spirit knows that it is right for Jesus to come back. Jesus coming back will set things right. It will fulfill prophecy. It will make things right on this earth. That scroll needs to be opened. Things need to happen. And so the Holy Spirit says, come. Come, Lord Jesus. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we too, the bride of Christ, the church, we would say, come, Lord Jesus. Just like a bride longs to be with the groom and saying, come, it's time. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Hopefully us here, the church, we're saying, come, Lord Jesus, as well. Hopefully, and it's interesting, I've been thinking during this message, how we really need to, our lives need to show that Jesus is coming soon, and we need to hopefully cry out to him. And that's true, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But at the same time, the Spirit is in you. If you're a true believer, and I know the Holy Spirit's saying, come. So do you want Jesus to come back? I know the answer is yes, because the Spirit's in you. Do you realize, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Maybe that's the question. Are you led by the Holy Spirit, the one who longs for Jesus to come back? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And this is at the end of the Bible here, a summing up of all the things here. The Spirit and the bride, they say, come, Lord Jesus. It's right for him to come back. And here we have, this is an offer to everyone in the world here, an amazing offer. Let the one who hears say, come. The one who hears, who is this person, the one who hears? Well, apparently they're not included in the previous Spirit and the bride, not part of the church. Perhaps it's someone who wasn't part of the church, but they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear about the truth that God loves them very much. They hear that Jesus died on a cross to take the punishment for their sins. They hear about this and they accept it, and they too can come join in the church. They can join with everyone else and with the Holy Spirit, and they too can say, come, Lord Jesus. Maybe someone who hated the Lord Jesus before, or who just didn't care, or whatever. Well, they hear, and they change their mind, and they accept the Lord Jesus, and now they're part of the group that says, come, Lord Jesus. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without cost. And this is an amazing, amazing statement on God's part here at the end of the Bible. At the end, we've already talked about a lake of fire for those who turn away from God, who never turn to him, for the sinners, for those who are never forgiven. They're outside the city. Eternal torment in the lake of fire, a scary thing. But God says you don't have to do that. You can still come. There's still time. If you're hearing my voice now, there is time. You can still come. If you're thirsty, maybe you search this world trying to quench your thirst with other things. Maybe you realize there's a longing in your soul for something more. greater than the things that you find. Maybe you've tried religions. Maybe you've tried other things. Maybe you even tried Christianity and doing the church thing, and that didn't get you there. Jesus says, just come to me. This verse right here is the one that's really jumped out to me and just kind of blew me away. It's so simple. It's so simple. Are you thirsty? Jesus says, come. You don't even have to understand everything. Just come to him. Do you realize you need him this morning? Pretty simple. You just come to him. Are you thirsty? Well, it's as simple as he makes it sound, and it's hard for me to say it's simple. I know it cost him a lot, and it doesn't seem simple to me, but God is saying, yes, it is simple. If you realize your need for me, just come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without cost. Eternal life, that's what we're talking about here at the end of Revelation. Eternal life, heaven and hell. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ or you haven't. If you have, you're forgiven and you're in heaven. Not because of any great thing you've done, but because of how awesome God is and how much mercy and grace he has. And because he offers everyone, if you're thirsty, come, just come. And God freely offers the water of life, eternal life, without cost. An amazing thing. Those words without cost have really bothered me. How can God say that? It cost him everything. What was the price that he paid for your soul? It was a huge price, wasn't it? A price you couldn't afford. You couldn't pay for your own sins, but he paid the price. He left his throne, he came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. He took the punishment, paid the price. It was a big cost. It cost him so much. And you know that if you want to go back and read about that, open your Bibles to the Gospels and go read about it. But you know what? It was part of his plan all along. Go back to the prophets, which we're going to look at in our next series here. It was all there. It's prophesied there that Jesus would do that. In fact, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, there's a prophecy that Jesus would come and give Satan a death blow on the head. So it really was God's plan all along that he would come and he would pay the price for our sins. How can he say it's without cost? If it were me, I think I'd put something in there and say, you know, this cost me everything. I worked really hard. You better be thankful for this. But God just freely says, I've done it all. I paid the price. It's done. It's accepted by the Father. Just come to me if you're thirsty. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. This book is very important, isn't it? Again, I talked about this last week. This book, I do believe, is referring specifically to Revelation, but we very easily can just say we could extend it to the Bible as well. Either way you look at it, you could say Revelation is the last book in the Bible, so if you add to it, you are adding to the Bible. If you take away, you are taking away from the Bible. So either way. But specifically the book of Revelation, it's very important. God said the book of Revelation is words. It is words that have been written down, and he says these are the words that I want to be the book of Revelation. And you don't add anything to it, and you don't take away anything from it. Maybe he knew it would be attacked a lot. Of course, the Bible is attacked. There are people, you know, all over the world that would take away and add to the Bible. I don't think very much of it. Well, what does God think about that? This is a very serious thing to God. You don't add to the Bible. You don't add to his word, and you don't take it away. I'm really thankful for these verses as I've thought about it, especially in the world we live in with all the information flying around out there. You can just get so overwhelmed by all sorts of opinions and this and that and the rest. And there's evil stuff out there and everything in between. And there's even good stuff that's confusing and weird, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, and what should we read, and what should we believe, and what is holy and righteous, what is bad, what is filthy. We need some sort of standard. We need some sort of thing we can go to that doesn't change, and I'm so glad that God gave us this. He knew we would need that. He gave us the Bible. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It is what it is, and it's exactly what God wants us to know. So that's a good thing. I am struck, too, just with the importance of this. How important is it to God that we don't add or subtract to the Bible? Well, take a look there. If you add to it, and there's kind of a play on words here, and this play on words works in English, too. If anyone adds to them, God says, well, you want to add to my word? Well, then I'm going to add something to you. I'm going to add the plagues that are written. And there's some very scary, wild things that happen in the book of Revelation. And God's saying, I'm going to add those to you if you add to them. In other words, don't do it. Pretty serious stuff. And boy, it even gets even more serious. You take away anything from this book, go ahead and read there. What will God take away from that person if they take away from the book of this prophecy? What does God say? I will take away your part from the tree of life and from the holy city. It sounds like that person is not going to heaven there. I would never say that on my own. It surprises me. It shocks me that God would put that there. But you know what? It's the word of God. And I don't want to take away or add to it here. He says, you have no part in heaven. Wow. Maybe this book is more important than I realize. Maybe it's more important than all of us realize. God's word is extremely important. We don't add to it, we don't take it away. I bet most of us here, we would know that, and we believe that, but man, it is important. Good to be reminded of that. And God takes it very seriously. And he says, here's your consequences. That is a big part of the book of Revelation. He's saying, here you go. You guys want to know what's going to happen in the future? Well, you do this, I'm going to do that. I'm telling you right now. It makes me sad for many people that have added and taken away to it. He says what's going to happen. Can they be forgiven? Yes. Yes, they can. I believe anyone could be forgiven if they truly see their need right up to the end. And I think that's what God's saying here, right up to the end. If you admit you made a mistake, you're a sinner. What he's saying is it's sin here, and you need to have your sins forgiven to be in heaven. All right. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
All right. Some of you just woke up there. That's great. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly.
Amen.
All right. It is worded a little different there, but thank you for saying that. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. And there you have it, folks. That's the final words in the book of God. That is the final words right there. What does God want to leave us with at the end of a huge book of what he wants us to know from beginning to end? What is it? He says, he who testifies to these things, that would be Jesus himself. Again, he just wants to make it really clear, this is not from angels, although he used angel in between, he used John, but it's straight from Jesus himself, which would be from God. He who testifies to these things, we have earlier on in this chapter, the angel testified that these words are faithful and true from God. John testified that he saw and heard these things and wrote down these things from God. And now Jesus testifies and says, I testify to these things. And he says, yes, I am coming quickly. You guys don't have to say anything there. Yes, I am coming quickly. I've read this, and I just yesterday, it occurred to me, what is he really saying here? He who testifies to these things says, well, if Jesus testifies, if you walked up to Jesus, if he was standing here and say, do you think this book of Revelation, is it true? Do you testify that these things are right? What would you expect him to say? What would be the words that you would expect? Yeah, I testify to these things. Something like that. Yeah, I believe all the chapters are right. I think you guys got it right. Something like that. What does he say? Yes, I am coming quickly. Is that an odd answer? Is he not summing up the whole book of Revelation in that phrase there? And saying, yes, it's all true. In other words, I am coming quickly. Jesus, is the whole book of Revelation true? Do you testify that it's true? He says, yes, I am coming quickly. That's the point of the book. Perhaps that's what he's saying. It seems to me that kind of is what he's saying there. It is interesting, you know, when you read commentaries, especially on Revelation, there's a lot of different views on things, but I have been amazed that every one of them that said anything about it has said the main point of Revelation is that Jesus is coming quickly. So they all agree. That is the main point of Revelation. Jesus is coming again. Okay. Jesus is coming again. All right. So Jesus said, yes, I'm coming quickly, and that is the point of Revelation. I testify to that. And what's the proper response? It is amen. Come, Lord Jesus. It's easy to say that on a Sunday morning when the preacher tells you to say it. And I'm glad that you said it. I hope you remember those words. But I realize, is it coming from your heart? I don't know. I'm not sure. And maybe it should be. Maybe we should say it more out of our mouths, and then maybe our hearts would follow along. I don't know. But really, the amen, come Lord Jesus, maybe it's not just words out of our mouth. Maybe that should be the life that we live, should say amen, come Lord Jesus. When you think of Jesus coming back quickly, are you really excited about that? Is it really a great thing? Are you looking forward to it? And that's a question I think you really should answer to yourself. Are you really looking forward to it? The proper response should be, the depth of your soul should cry out, amen, come Lord Jesus. If it doesn't, maybe there's something wrong there. I don't know. Maybe we should think more about this. Maybe we should read more about Jesus and worship him even more. And maybe that'll make us long even more for the day that he comes back. Maybe we should work on our relationship with him and doing what he said. Maybe that would long for that day even more. Maybe we should listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives, who we know the Spirit is crying out, come back, Lord Jesus. And as the Spirit does that, and we let that take over, then we say those words too. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. Hopefully our lives show an amen, come Lord Jesus. And maybe even when other people see our lives and wonder, why are you doing all those weird things that you do? You could tell them, well, it's because Jesus is coming back, and I need to be ready for him. That's why I'm doing these things. Hopefully our lives say, amen, come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. And that's the very last statement, the last words, the last thought in the Bible. Are you thankful that that's the last thought in the Bible? I sure am. Every time I read this, I just take a big sigh of relief and just go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. He could have said something else at the end. Stop sinning or you're going to hell. He could have said it, and it's true. But you know what? What does he want to leave us with? What's the last thought that he wants us to know? He really wants us to remember about him, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Be with all. Amen. So, grace, getting what we don't deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. We deserve the lake of fire along with Satan and his demons. Every one of us does deserve that. And by his mercy, we don't get that. By his mercy, he took the punishment for us. And by his mercy, we can be saved if you come to him and ask him to forgive your sins. He can by his mercy. And mercy would mean we just get out of not having to go to hell, the lake of fire. But by his grace, not only do we get out of that, by his grace, we get heaven. We get to be with him forever. We get to eat from that tree of life that we talked about a couple weeks ago. We get all the joys of heaven, being with each other, all the believers, and being with God himself forever, which is going to be greater than anything that we could imagine. That's by his grace, not because you deserve it, not because we're great, but he is great because of his great mercy and grace. We can even think of being with him forever. It's by his grace. How much grace does he have? He has enough for everyone. The call here is to everyone. When he said anyone who is thirsty, can come, that's a lot of people he's saying that to. You know, if all of you wanted a drink, I don't have enough water here for everyone, do I? I could go get some more. It would take some time, but eventually we'd run out, and you drink this and you're thirsty again in a little bit. But you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone on the earth. He has more than enough eternal life for everyone. Just admit that you're thirsty, that you need him. Come to him, and he can give you living water. And you can never thirst again for eternity. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for Jesus coming back? Have you accepted his free gift of salvation? Have you? The whole book of Revelation, I believe the whole tribulation period, is all about giving people another chance, another chance, another chance, trying to get people's attention, saying, wake up, please wake up and listen. Please understand that there is a God, and there is right and wrong, and you will have to be punished for your sins, but you don't have to. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we close out the book of Revelation, one more chance. I just want to tell you one more time. God loves you. The Bible tells us clearly we're all sinners, including you. You don't deserve heaven. And if you never do anything about that, you will never be in heaven. And you will have to take the punishment for your sins forever. If you don't like that, that doesn't change anything. It's still the truth. Because you're not God. There is one God. And he's told us here about this stuff. But he also loves you, and he also took the punishment for your sins. He paid the price, and your sins can be completely dealt with, 100% taken care of, and you can become one of his children. You can have your robes washed clean so that you're welcome into the city. You can come and drink the living water that he offers and never thirst again. It's a free offer to anybody, no matter who you are or what you've done. It's a free offer, and you can accept it right now if you want to. Jesus is coming again. If you've accepted him, then you are ready, hopefully, to be with him. Those of us that have, we should be living lives that say, amen, come Lord Jesus. Lives that show that we're ready and we're longing for him to come back. We should be spreading the good news to everyone we can, that there is a free offer of life to everyone who accepts it. That's what we should be doing. And as we do that, then our lives are saying, amen, come Lord Jesus. One more time. Jesus is coming again.
Amen. Come Lord Jesus.
It'd be good to be reminding ourselves of this, that Jesus is coming back in many different ways. And one good thing to do would be to sing about this. And it is great that we get to sing now. I'm going to pray. As I pray, sound people, if you want to, or music people, whatever you're called, can come on up. And then when I'm done praying, let's sing. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you. You're an awesome God. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Although we're sinners, we can be saved and be a part of your family and be with you forever, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ and all he's done for us. Thank you for the free offer of eternal life to anyone who accepts it. Lord, I pray everyone in here would accept that even today if they haven't already. Help us to be ready for your return, Lord, to be looking for it, and help us to be living lives that say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.